Find a Bible and open it to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Last week, Pastor Dave preached about the seal of the Holy Spirit, being sealed by God, and the reality that in Christ, being sealed by God, there is no condemnation anymore. We are cleansed and we are forgiven in Christ. And the reality of our guarantee, the seal of our guarantee, is found in Romans 8, 28 through 29. And I believe he took you there last week. I'm going to read those. Romans 8, 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Those whose faith is in Christ and Christ alone are born again. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. And we are guaranteed our inheritance in the Holy Spirit of God. In our glorification, the reality that we will be like Christ and with him forever is our undeniable destiny in Christ. And if you were in adult Sunday school, then you know the reality of our glorification, that God wills it, God seals it, and God's power is towards us to accomplish it. Brothers and sisters, the reality of being sealed by God is exciting. If this doesn't get you excited, then you better check for a pulse in your heart. Remember this verse from last week? Look at it, Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Listen now, there are only three possible conditions. Condition number one is you are not sealed and you will never be sealed because you will not believe the truth and you will deny the gospel of your salvation all the way to the grave. Now, if you're hearing me say that, if you're hearing me say you don't have a chance, you are not hearing me. I am telling you, no, I am imploring you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Believe the truth. Believe God. Believe the gospel of your salvation and put your faith in Christ. Trust in him. Lean on him. Have faith in what he did at the cross for you. Put your faith in Christ and Christ alone and be saved and sealed by God and do it now. The reality is that most of the world will not believe the gospel and are not sealed. Don't be one of the many, be one of the few that make it through the narrow gate. Reality number two. The second reality is you are not currently sealed, but you will believe the truth and embrace the gospel of your salvation, and you will become sealed. Reality number three. You are sealed exactly as Ephesians says. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Those are the three options, the three conditions. Within those three conditions, then, there are two options. Two options. When you die, or Christ comes again. Option number one, you are not sealed and you will perish. Option number two is you are sealed and you will be glorified. The title of this message today is Sealed, So What, So Everything. Let's pray together. Father, there is absolutely nothing I can say that will be of any value unless it comes from your word. So I do pray, Father, that as we look into your word, that your spirit moves in a mighty way, Lord, through me. And Father, then as they receive the word, may your spirit seal these truths to all of our hearts, Lord. May we have our minds renewed through your word and in the power of your Holy Spirit, and our hearts changed and be conformed more to the image of your Son. I pray you do this and much more than I can even pray for or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. This is the chapter we are in on Wednesday nights. We've been going through Revelation for about 16 months and we're in chapter 13. And it has been a joy and it has been a blessing. If you are sealed and you want to know so what? If you are sealed and you want to know so what, then this is the so what of so what. This is everything. This is the ultimate test of being sealed. We've been in this well over a year, but I'll do my best to keep it simple. So let me set up chapter 13 by explaining a little bit of chapter 12. In chapter 12, John tells us about the great battle of the ages, good versus evil, between God and his angels and his people, and Satan and his angels and his people. And we know that way back in history that Satan rebelled against God and took many angels with him. And since that time, though, Satan has still had access to heaven to this day. And we know that he is before God because he is accusing us daily before God. But in the future, which is chapter 12, there is going to be a great battle in heaven against Michael and his angels, against Satan and his angels, and Satan will be defeated. In fact, look at it in chapter 12. Back up a little bit. Chapter 12, verse 7. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called Devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And then rejoicing will break out in heaven, but the earth will be in big trouble, because Satan will know that his time is short. Look at it in verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. And he will make war on God's people. And so we come to chapter 13. And there are three characters we need to know. In chapter 12, we were introduced to the dragon, who was Satan. Right away in chapter 13, we see another character. Look at it, 13:1. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Let's hold up here. This beast of the sea is the lawless one, the one we know as Antichrist. We won't go through the symbolism, but if you want details, come on Wednesday. It's a great discussion. But this is the emergence of Antichrist. The beast of the sea is Antichrist. So we have the dragon who is Satan, and we have the beast of the sea who is Antichrist. And Antichrist gets his power and throne and authority from Satan. Not only that, but Antichrist seems to have a mortal wound, which was healed. So the whole earth will marvel and worship Satan and Antichrist. And God will allow Antichrist to have authority for 42 months. And not only will God allow Antichrist to have authority for 42 months, but here's what I really want us to focus on and to consider. Let's read verses 7 through 10. This is the word of God. This will happen. Revelation 13, starting in verse 7. Also, it was allowed Antichrist, the beast, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. Read that again. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. God is telling us there is coming a time when He, God, will allow Antichrist not only to make war against the saints, but to conquer them. We are sealed. So what? So everything. Let's look at what's going on. And first look at who's worshiping this false god. Verse 8, who's worshiping? And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. All who dwell on the earth in the book of Revelation is referring to unbelievers. And how do we know that? Well, there's a number of different reasons, but there's one right here for us. And this one speaks to being predestined and sealed by God. Look at it with me in verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. And watch now, who's going to worship the beast? Those who dwell on the earth. And who are these people? Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Satan will be in control because Antichrist will be in control because God will allow this to happen. And everyone that is an unbeliever will worship him. But if before the foundation of the world your name was written in the Lamb's book of life, then you will not worship the beast. But he will make war against you, and he will conquer you. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If your name is written in the book of life, then you are a saint, and you are destined to be taken captive, then to captivity you will go. If your name is written in the book of life, you are a saint, and you are destined to be slain with the sword, then you will be slain with the sword. God allows it. And at this time, you will either worship the beast or you will be conquered by the beast. There is no other choice. So why? Why does God allow this? Look at the last part of verse 10. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. We have it easy in Wallace, Michigan, United States of America, planet Earth in 2013. But there's coming a time, brothers and sisters, when the church will be purified. And God will call for the endurance and the faith of His people. And if you have the seal and faith of Christ, then you will not worship the beast. If you do not have the seal and faith of Christ in you, you will worship the beast. If you have the seal and faith of Christ in you, you will die, but you will live forever. If you do not have the seal and faith of Christ, you will live, but you will perish forever. There will be no in-between. You are sealed or you are not. You will be for God or you will be against God. There will be no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. Because here is the call for the endurance and faith of the saints. During times of persecution and trials, we need to love the truth. We need to believe the truth, and we need to endure, and we will because we're sealed. Sealed so what, so everything. Having faith and being sealed is everything. Before we move out of Revelation, we need to take a look at what Satan's great tool is. And we all know that, right? Deception. Watch this now as we are introduced into the third character. First, we had the dragon, who is Satan. Second, we had the beast of the sea, who is the Antichrist. Now we are going to see another beast emerge. Look at verse 11. Revelation 13:11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. Okay, hold up here. This is the beast of the earth. Again, without going into detail, I'll tell you the beast of the earth is who we call the false prophet or the anti-spirit. Verse 12. It exercises all authority over the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. Watch now for the job of the anti-spirit, the false prophet. Verse 13. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs It is allowed to work in the presence of the beast. It deceives those who dwell on the earth. It deceives those who dwell on the earth. It has great power to perform signs and wonders to deceive. And brothers and sisters, this is the key to our walk with Jesus. As believers in Christ, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. As believers in Christ, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. While you're getting there, I want you to listen to these two passages. This is John 15:26. This is Jesus speaking. But when the Helper comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, but when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit of truth guides you into all truth. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. The Holy Spirit of truth is in us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And this context is exactly where we were in Revelation 13. 1 John 2:20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. If you have faith in Christ and you have been anointed by the Holy One and you have knowledge, you know truth. Having faith, believing faith, and being sealed is everything. Look down to verse 25 and see the seal as God's promise. Look at it, verse 25. And this is the promise that he made to us. This is the seal. This is the promise. Eternal life. God has promised us and sealed us, and we will live with him forever. And look at the glorious reality God gives us in verses 26 and 27 about the Holy Spirit. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him. The Holy Spirit is our guide to all truth. And in all reverence to him, he is our lie detector. He is the one that teaches us everything. He is the one that leads us into truth. Listen and hear this well. And I believe this with all of my heart. There is no better teacher than the combination of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Word of God. When Pastor Dave is up here, or I am up here, or anybody else is teaching you, it is a spiritual gift from God. And we prepare hard, and we pray hard, and we long for you to hear and heed God's Word. But we know that ultimately, in the end, it is not us, it is the Spirit of Christ and His Word that is teaching you. That is how God gets the glory. The Holy Spirit seals us with and in truth. Let's see why that's important. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Remember now, having faith, believing truth, and being sealed is everything. 2 Thessalonians 2 is the same context as Revelation 13, which is the same context of 1 John chapter 2. It's about the Antichrist and the reality of believing truth. And there is a lot going on here, and we're just going to go through it. And let's jump in at verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. This is a great way to start this passage. The lawless one is the beast of the sea, who is the Antichrist in Revelation 13. And remember, he was able to make war and to conquer us, saints. But Jesus will come, and with the breath of his mouth and the appearance of himself will bring him to nothing. If you are interested in detail and highlighting things, verse 9, highlight or circle this because it contains reference to the anti-Trinity. In this verse, we see anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-Spirit. They are all here. Verse 9, and the coming of the lawless one, that is anti-Christ, is by the activity of Satan, who is anti-God, with all power of false signs and wonders, that is the anti-spirit. You have the anti-Trinity right in this verse. And here is his tool. Here is his weapon. Verse 10. And with all wicked deception. And this is why we are about to see why having faith and believing truth and being sealed is everything. Verse 10. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. And it gets worse for those who refuse to love the truth and be saved. Verse 11. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Satan is the father of lies and full of wicked deception, and he will fill your ear. And not believing truth, not believing the love of the truth condemns you, and you will perish. But, verse 13, but we ought also to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved in the Lord, because God, what's the next word? Chose. Because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. Listen, this is simple. If you have faith, if you believe the truth of Christ, then you are saved and sealed. If you do not have faith, if you do not believe the truth of Christ, then you are condemned and you will perish. And again, the seal, the promise of glory, again, is right here, verse 14. And to this he, look at the next word here. To this he called you through our gospel. Why? So that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having faith, believing in God, and being sealed is everything. Turn to John 3:16. We all know John 3:16, right? In my estimation, this may be the summary verse of the entire Bible. And we use it often. But do we know verses 17 and 18? John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world. Sometimes I think we say that way too fast and don't get it, but let's do that again. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Watch now. Faith. Believing truth is everything. Verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of the only Son of God. It is all about faith. It is all about believing God. It is all about truth. And the ultimate truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ of God. He is the Savior of the world. And denying Jesus is refusing the truth. Denying Jesus is to believe what is false, and God says you are condemned already. Thus saith the Lord, I sent my Son to die for your sin. Believe in my Son, and you will live with me forever. If you do not believe, you are condemned already. There are two options and only two. Believe God, be sealed, and have eternal life, or love not the truth and die in condemnation and perish. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Put your faith in Jesus now and be saved forever. Having faith, believing truth, and being sealed is everything. I just want to say this, and then we'll start winding this up or down, however you want to look at it. Pastor Dave told me he was going to do a miniseries on the Holy Spirit, and he sent me an email, and it had a little outline. But I have to say, having a miniseries on the Holy Spirit is like showing you a picture of the Grand Canyon with a cell phone. And then each time Pastor Dave and I talked, he added more messages to it, and that's good. But here's the problem. There aren't enough Sundays in our lifetime to teach the whole counsel of God. We need to be in His Word during the week. We need to be in His Word more than just now. And I implore you and I encourage you to join a Bible study. Don't miss Sunday school. Get a Bible study group going together. If you want to go through the book of the Bible, see me and I'll take you through it. But we need to be in the Word, and we need it more than just Sundays. Okay, that's my exhortation to you. Two quick passages and we'll be done. Let's start with Matthew 24 and we'll see if we can bring this together. And Matthew 24, we are staying in the same context as Revelation 13, as 1 John 2, and as 2 Thessalonians 2. Same time frame, same anti-Trinity, same outcomes. Matthew 24, 23 through 31. This is the Word of God. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So I have told you so beforehand. So, if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpses, the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Listen now, everyone. If you believe in the only Son of God, if you believe and your faith is in Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know and believe the truth. You are sealed by God and you are the elect of God. And when Jesus comes again, he will gather us together and we will obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be with him forever. And there will be no more deception, no more sin, no more lies, no more tears, no more sadness, no more suffering, and no more death. Only pure goodness and holiness. Only pure worship and fellowship with God. And pure love for God and pure unhindered love for each other. Having faith, believing truth, and being sealed is everything. Turn to Romans 8 and we'll be done. You just know I had to come here. Last week I had a joy of preaching in Cedar River, and I preached a message called More Than Conquerors, which I had preached here earlier this year. If you like to have references in your Bibles of other passages, then right now take the time in Romans 8, 36 through 37, and next to it write Revelation 13, 7 through 10. And the opposite is true. Next to Revelation 13, verses 7 and 10, reference Romans 8, 29 through 39, particularly 36 and 37. Because I have to tell you, if you get to Romans 13, 7 through 10, and you don't have understanding of, if you get to Revelation 13, 7 through 10, and you don't have understanding of Romans 8, then it's hopeless for you. As faithful, sealed saints of God, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8, 28 through 39. If John 3:16 is the summary passage of the Bible, this is perhaps my favorite passage in all of Scripture. Romans 8, 28 through 39. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here it is, dragon. Here it is, beast of the sea. Here it is, beast of the earth. Antichrist, you can make war against me. Antichrist, you can conquer me, you can capture me, you can kill me with a sword, but you can't take away my Christ. I will be with Him forever. Amen. I believe God. I have faith in Christ. I am sealed by God, and nothing, nothing, nothing can ever, ever, ever remove me from the love of God I have in Christ Jesus. Sealed? So what? So everything. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your words. Oh, thank You for them, Lord. They are so true. Thank You for the Holy Spirit You have given us that is truth, that testifies to the truth of the Word, that testifies to the truth of Your only Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us the faith to believe in You. And thank You for sealing us, Father, the guarantee of our inheritance, the reality, the truth, the reality that we will be like Christ and with Him forever, and nothing can change that. And I do pray, Father, that through this now You deepen our faith and our walk with You, that we fall more in love with You, Father, that we experience You and Your love and Your comfort during trials, and Father, that we would fall more and more in love with each other, Lord. I pray that. So I thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.